Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. As he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands, as they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God. Clearly, they gave the sense that, so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe. And the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord our God, your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And they said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine. Send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our God, our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it less of a part of the body. And the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, or the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you,' nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And the unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, the gifts of healing, helping, and ministering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, before I get rolling too far into our gospel reading today, I want to point out something exciting about hymns. You see, we have a pretty amazing gift here in Dr. Borecki, who picks out these hymns for us and helps prepare our services, because someone like me, who's a very basic hymn selector, would maybe skip over something called Reformation song, typically saved for the season or the day of Reformation, when we last prepared and sang this back in October. We're in the season of Epiphany. That's a different time of year. Clearly this song doesn't fit for today. This is why we have Dr. Borecki. This is perfect. "Your word alone is solid ground, the mighty rock on which we build. In every line the truth is found, and every page with glory filled." In our reading from Luke chapter 4, we get Jesus doing what Jesus always does when he goes into a town. Typically, he's going into towns he may have spent less time in. Right now, we have him going into Nazareth, a place he knows quite well. This is his home. People here know him. They see him, and they're like, "Man, I hear Jesus has been doing exciting things in other places. He was healing people. He's been preaching in the synagogue. This will be really interesting. I wonder what he has to say. I wonder what he might do. You know, I injured myself last week. Maybe he could help take care of that. That'd be nice." People see Jesus, and they know him, and they think, "Well, maybe I can get an in with this guy. I mean, he's been doing miracles. Clearly, he'll help me out." So, sure, he comes into the synagogue to read and to teach. They know he's been doing this, and they hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. This is how they would have done things back in the synagogue. You know, they have their scroll, not our book in the Bible, where we're flipping one page to the next, and we often have a book of the Bible we work through week to week. This year in our lectionary, we're going through the Gospel of Luke. You'll get a lot of the Luke accounts of what Jesus did. And as we're going through Luke, we keep moving ourselves forward. Last week we're in chapter 3, now we're in chapter 4. We're making our way through. Similarly, Jesus was given the scroll, and they've rolled it open. Okay, well, we read this part in Isaiah. We're going a little bit further. So he's got the scroll and he reads it to them. And as he unrolls it, he finds the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he gives them a sermon from there. Much better than the one you're getting right now, I'm sure. God's word explaining God's word. Oh, that would have been the best. To be there in the synagogue, to hear him read that with the full authority of the one through whom it's spoken, to then explain it for the people. No wonder they were all fixed on him. No wonder they were all amazed by how he was speaking. Hearing Jesus Christ tell them this prophecy from back in Isaiah's day is fulfilled in your hearing of it. The Greek word is actually fulfilled in your ear. The location of which it is fulfilled is right there. Jesus telling the people, this is happening. As Nathan mentioned before in our Young Time lesson, God's promise is true. It is being fulfilled. We know throughout the Gospels that Jesus will reference this. This is not just us saying, oh, look, didn't the Bible say that? Jesus pointed out how God's promises were being fulfilled in him. Even as John the Baptist, you may recall, he's imprisoned and Jesus is out doing things, but he hasn't quite, kicked the Romans out of town and he hasn't quite brought the kingdom of God the way he was expecting. And so John sends his disciples to Jesus and says, so are you the one that we've been waiting for? We think so, we're pretty sure, but we just want to know, could you give us some clarification? Are you the one? And Jesus says, I'm doing these things. Giving sight to the blind, bringing liberty to the captives, setting free the oppressed. Jesus points out, I am here doing these things. All those things God promised would happen, they're happening. These promises are being fulfilled. God's word is true. God's word is trustworthy. Not just his written word, but Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. He is truth. He is trustworthy. And he fulfills all of his promises. That'd be pretty amazing. To have in your ear the fulfillment of prophecy. You actually do have that, though. Again, this sermon's not as great as what Jesus did, but it's still being fulfilled. It's still happening. Anywhere the word of God goes out, anywhere it is preached, anywhere it is shared, liberty is coming to those who are oppressed. Sight is being given to those who are blind. We who would be blind and held captive by our own sin are set free by the reading of God's word, by the sharing of the truth of his promises. When you share with someone that Christ has paid for your sins, when you tell people that Jesus Christ has died and has risen and is Lord of all, God's word is being fulfilled. We believe that the Holy Spirit truly does work through God's word. The Holy Spirit really does change our hearts and our minds, brings sight to us that we might see the truth of Jesus Christ, that we would be set free from sin, death, and the devil. That promise is true. And anywhere that we share that Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises, it's happening. You get to be a part of the fulfilling of this. In your ears right now, it's being fulfilled. In other years, for years to come, it will be fulfilled. The very promise of God. Liberty to the captives. Sight to the blind. And I've been leaving off the last one in that list. Proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Without going too deeply into great, wonderful Jewish tradition and cycles of years, this year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, was a time of forgiveness of debt, liberation from those who are in bondage. It is a time of great forgiveness that would happen every 7 years, this perfect amount of years. This year of the Lord's favor, a year of Jubilee, the time of God's favor and forgiveness and mercy had come in Jesus. His promise that it would come came true. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, I'm happy to see that none of you are openly, loudly weeping the way this happened in Nehemiah chapter 8. I mean, that'd be exciting, I suppose, but when Ezra the priest was out reading these, when Ezra the priest had brought the word of God to the people in the rebuilt city, temple rebuilt, walls rebuilt, reading God's word in this promised land of theirs, open weeping, perhaps of joy, perhaps of great sorrow. Man, all the destruction that happened leading up to this was because we didn't follow God's word. They're great promises, and also promises of what happens when you don't follow God's word. So I don't know perhaps what was in everyone's heart, but Ezra says, "This day is holy to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep. Go your way. Eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For the day, this day, is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Hearing God's word read can cut us to the core and remind us of our sin. Hearing God's word should also remind us that we are indeed saved by Jesus Christ, that your God loves you, that your God has shown you favor and given you peace in Jesus Christ. You are fully covered, fully prepared for heaven in Jesus' name, in his body and his blood. There is one more promise yet to be fulfilled in your specific life. There will be a day when you stand before God in heaven, whether it's when Jesus returns in judgment for the whole world, or whether we individually are called home. And you'll get to experience that last promise connected to this life. When you die, Jesus' name is fully covering you. His perfect obedience to the Father is yours, gifted. God the Father will see you and welcome you into his home as his dear child. Proclaim great news and joy. Go away, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine. Well, after service, go away and have a great breakfast over there in the grape room. It'll be wonderful. Go forth in celebration, having heard God's word today. When you receive his body and blood, when you hear the benediction at the end of the service, go forth knowing that these promises are yours. Forgiveness in Jesus' name, daily blessing and favor shown to you until you would be called home in heaven. When God's promises will not just be fulfilled in your ear, I suppose, but in your whole body, being made new, being made holy, sin fully removed from you. Until then, we'll have to deal with our ears, I suppose, to hear God's word preached and read. Continue to share God's word amongst yourselves. Share it with those who need to hear it. Not just for correction and reproof, but especially for encouragement. To remember that Christ has come. He has given us the sight to see God. He has set you free from captivity to sin. He has shown you just how much God favors you and loves you. Those promises are yours to both to have and to share every day. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.